Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to Your World Today. My name is Anisa Isak and my next guest is Nisa Mudli, and she is a journalist, a financial journalist who spent the last 16 years doing a lot of writing for personal finance issues, and she's written for many of the big newspapers: Business Report, Personal Finance, City Press, FinWeek, MoneyWeb, and she's currently writing for The Sowetan. The reason we're speaking to her today is the fact that she has managed to get through COVID-19 with an underlying health condition. And Sister Nisa is, someone who can maybe give us some insight into what it felt like during this time. And as soon as we have on the line, we're definitely going to be asking her lots of questions about how she got through this very difficult virus that, you know, we're still trying to get the grips on, trying to understand it, research still being done, everybody scrambling around to find a cure or a vaccine for it, and obviously at the same time trying to remain safe and making sure we follow all the different measures that have been put in place for us to, and every day things seems to change with regards to the virus. We hear different stories coming out, people reacting to this, and in all of this there's also a lot of misinformation. So listening to what somebody felt like, or how they went through this, how they've managed to beat it, what their thoughts were during this time, is really important for us as well, because we get an understanding a little bit of what it feels like to be ill with the virus if we haven't, fortunately haven't had someone close to us who's been ill. Some people have been social distancing to such a point that they haven't really been close to anybody who has been ill from the virus. Sometimes you find people live alone, so they're cooped up in their little apartments or their homes and don't really go out for anything except maybe if they need to, and they've been really doing well with regards to the measures and they haven't been ill, and all they get to see is what is happening out in the world via newspaper articles or TV stories and things like that. Many times we found that if you speak to the older people within old age homes or in care facilities, they themselves hadn't understood what this was. They didn't understand the way this virus actually works until they started seeing the devastation that it has caused from TV, and then when people started getting sick within our own country and they've been seeing all of this and hearing the stories that have come through. So we have Sister Nisa on right now and we are going to be speaking to her about her experience. Nisa, good afternoon. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Hi, thanks Anisa.
I hope you're doing better after your ordeal.
I am better. I might cough a little bit in between, but I am feeling much better.
Well, that's understandable, and I'm sure that our listeners will forgive you for that, and we wouldn't find any harm in that. But let's start with the fact that, how did you find out that you had contracted the virus, and when was it like the worst period for you during that time that you found out and waiting for that test?
So when my symptoms started, it started with a post-nasal drip, which felt like a normal post-nasal drip, and I just had a little bit of a cough, which also is something normal. And I thought it was my allergies and my hay fever, so I was treating for that. And after 2 days, I had a headache, and my husband said to me, "Do you think it's COVID?" And I said, "No, it feels like a normal headache. It's just a normal headache. It's fine." On the third day, the cough got very dry and sore, and then I phoned a family member who's a pharmacist, and I said, "This is what I'm feeling. What do you think?" And she said to me, "Look, because I've got an artificial heart valve, and I've also got asthma." So she said to me, "Go for the test as quickly as possible. You don't want to wait until you need medical help to find out that you've got it. Rather have the test." And even after the test result came back 3 days later, I still couldn't believe I had COVID, because to me it was feeling like a normal flu. I think for me, days seven to ten were the worst, and I've heard from doctor friends that that is the worst period. That's when most cases get hospitalized. During days 7 to 10, I had a constant fever. It was not going down at all. I had chills, and I was wearing 4 layers of clothing. I was under 3 blankets. I couldn't stop shivering. The hot water bottle wasn't feeling hot at all.
Mm-hmm.
I had this debilitating headache that felt like my head was being crushed by a steel machine. Panado wasn't helping. Sleep wasn't helping. I would go to sleep with this headache, dream about having a headache, wake up with a headache. I was in tears because of this headache. It was terrible. I also had nausea, I had diarrhea, I had night sweats, and I had the dry cough and the nasal congestion during those 3 days. So mm-hmm. that was the worst time for me.
So how did this take its toll on you mentally? Because, I mean, you know, when you're going through all of this with the common cold, you know it's the common cold and you don't really, you know, think much about it. You know, I'm going to take the antibiotics, the doctor's given me the injection or whatever it is, and I'm going to get through this. But this is something that we've seen causing so much of death. So mentally, we're not prepared for it.
No, mentally you are not prepared for it. It's terrifying. I mean, I've had open heart surgery and... Mm-hmm. COVID was more scary for me. With open heart surgery, I could go online and I knew what to expect and I knew how to prepare myself. With COVID, it's different from person to person. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what's coming the next day. You experience symptoms that you have not read about, that you don't expect. I didn't know I was going to feel nauseous. I had another symptom that was not common. I had on one or two of the days, my skin suddenly became so sensitive. Even just having a shower and putting clothes on made me feel like I was going to scream because my skin was so sensitive and sore, and tingly all over. And I felt like I wanted to jump out of my skin. But mentally, I think the most difficult aspect for me was the social distancing and the isolation. Mm-hmm. So I had support online, but I couldn't hug my family. And I think it was hard for my family as well because they would come and stand at my bedroom door about 3 meters away from where I was lying in bed. And they could see me in pain and sick, and they couldn't do anything about it. So when you're sick, you know, somebody you love will come and wipe your forehead with a damp face towel, or they'll help you sit up, or they'll rub your back, or they can give you a hug. When you have COVID, you are completely on your own.
Yeah, definitely. I think many people say that. It's the one time you realize how alone you can actually be in a room full of people or in a house full of people.
Yeah.
All right. So what advice would you give our listeners out there now that you've gone through such an ordeal, especially seeing that you have, you know, the open heart surgery, you've got a valve that has been put in and obviously a comorbidity as well. So what advice would you give them?
There's so many things. I don't think you have enough time. But there's a few important things I made notes of. So the one thing is when you test positive, Department of Health will contact you or your doctor will phone you and tell you, you have to self-isolate within your house. So you have to be in a separate room, preferably with a separate bathroom. What you don't know, what's not widely publicized, is that all the family members who live at home with you are now also under quarantine because they've been exposed to you. So nobody in your family can leave the house for 2 weeks. And I would suggest now, even if you think you are not at risk, start making arrangements with a friend or family member who doesn't live with you so that in that 2 week period, you know, somebody's going to be able to drop off groceries or medication or whatever you might need because nobody's going to leave the house. The other thing was I had all the medication and all the vitamins which treat the symptoms. I used ACC 200, Desilex, Prospan, Panado, Imodium, Valoid, Demazin, Sinutab, Vicks. Vitamin D3 made a huge difference. I physically felt the difference once I started taking that. And I tried to sit in a sunny spot for at least half an hour a day in my room. I also drank a lot of water because your throat is constantly dry. It feels like your saliva function has completely stopped. And no matter how much you drink, your throat just stays dry. So I went through, I think, 25 liters of water in 9 days by myself.
Wow.
The most important thing is you've got to rest as much as possible. Nobody tells you one of the side effects is insomnia. So you've got to rest, but you won't be able to sleep at night. So I watched a lot of Netflix. I read a lot of books. You have to sleep on your stomach or your side so your lungs are not under pressure, and that did definitely help, and it made a difference. And if you can get a pulse oximeter, it helps for peace of mind because you can use that to measure your heart rate and oxygen levels. And that was very scary for me because all my doctor friends and pharmacists kept telling me, be careful, keep an eye on it, you've got to keep a close eye because with COVID, it turns very quickly. So like mm-hmm. the deterioration happens very quickly, and there are days in between that 14-day period where you wake up or you feel for one day like, I'm back to normal, it wasn't COVID, I feel fine. And then the next day, you'll suddenly take a dip again. So that 14-day isolation is paramount important.
All right. Nisa, we wish you all the best. I hope you feel much better. And I hope that going forward, you take care and look after yourself and be safe. And well
done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being with us.